to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. What time does the show start? À quelle heure commence le spectacle? Une question essentielle, un outil qui sert à organiser les rencontres personnelles et professionnelles. What time is the meeting? What time is the interview? What time is the dinner? What time is the conference?
What time do the shows usually start?
En fait, c'est une façon très américaine de raccourcir la phrase. Grammaticalement, on devrait commencer la question par la préposition at. At what time does the show start? At what time is the meeting? At what time is the interview? Ici, Kathy va poser la question au sujet de plusieurs spectacles et de l'heure à laquelle ils commencent d'habitude. What time do the shows usually start?
What time do the shows usually start?
Usually, d'habitude ou en général.
What time do the shows usually start?
They usually start at 2 o'clock.
And when do they end?
They usually end at around 5 o'clock.
Si vous posez la question, when does it start? Ou au pluriel, when do they start? When does it start? It remplace le mot show, spectacle, au singulier. Par exemple, when does the meeting start? When does it start? Dans la phrase que vous venez d'entendre, shows, spectacle, est remplacé par le pronom au pluriel, they. Si on pose la question, when does it start? Quand est-ce que ça commence? Ou au pluriel, when do they start? Il vous faudra forcément demander aussi quand est-ce que le programme finira. When does it end? Au pluriel, when do they end? When does the meeting start? When does the meeting end? When does the conference start? When does the conference end? Écoutez.
The train to Washington leaves at 7.
When do you get back to Washington?
We arrive in Washington around 11.
That's a long day.
It is, but we love going to shows. They're wonderful.
Puisque Pat Miller se rend à New York régulièrement en une journée, la question qu'on lui demande alors est When do you get back?
When do you get back to Washington?
Quand allez-vous revenir? To get back. Revenir. Rentrer. Écoutez et répétez à haute voix.
Listen and repeat.
11 o'clock. The train arrives in New York at 11 o'clock. Two o'clock. The shows usually start at 2 o'clock. Five o'clock. The shows usually end at around 5 o'clock. Seven o'clock. The train leaves New York at 7 o'clock. 11 o'clock. The train arrives in Washington at 11 o'clock.
'Approchons-nous de la gare. Allons au guichet pour acheter un billet. Dans le dialogue, vous entendrez I'd like a ticket. J'aimerais, sous-entendu, acheter un billet. En fait, c'est la contraction. I would like a ticket.
I'd like a ticket to Denver.
I'd like a ticket. Dans laquelle il est impliqué que la personne veut acheter un billet. I would like to buy a ticket. Aux États-Unis, on simplifie. I'd like a ticket. Écoutez.
Listen to the conversation.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ticket to Denver.
One way or round trip?
Round trip, please.
One moment, please. The next train leaves at 10:30. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
That'll be $60.
60 or 16?
60. 60.
En vendant le billet, le préposé a demandé One way or round trip?
One way or round trip?
One way, aller simple. Round trip, aller-retour. Écoutez de nouveau et répétez.
Listen and repeat.
The next train leaves at 10:30. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
That'll be $60.
60 or 16?
60. 60.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Un groupe d'élèves a formé un groupe de rap. Ils demandent à leur professeur d'anglais de leur corriger leur texte. Pas toujours facile pour un prof d'anglais. Écoutons les rappeurs et leurs profs. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, aux phrases que vous allez entendre. 1. La puissance des mots fait la force du rap. 2. Pour le prof, le rap ce n'est pas un combat. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Quel est le titre de la chanson de ces rappeurs? 2. Comment le prof qualifie-t-il l'anglais utilisé par ses élèves rappeurs? 3. Pourquoi? Vous allez apprendre du vocabulaire relatif à la musique et au rap et d'autres expressions idiomatiques. Vous pourrez montrer votre désaccord de manière polie en utilisant « I'm afraid ». Vous saurez enfin exprimer l'obligation morale avec « should ».
Teacher, sir, can you help us correct the mistakes in our poetry? We want a good poem that uses proper English.
I told you, mistakes are part of learning. You can't correct all your mistakes. Let me see. Enough is enough. Is this the title of a poem or a pamphlet?
No, it's the title of our rap song.
Ah, so a rap song should be called a poem now?
Definitely. Slam poets and rappers are the modern poets.
I see. But I'm afraid some of your words and structures don't seem to be English. I'm afraid I can't understand that.
No problem, sir. What's important is the flow. The fast flow of words. Strong words.
And the rhythm. The beat. The powerful, fast beat.
Take it easy. Cool down. You seem very angry. Rap is not for fighting.
But it is. Rap lyrics should be used to fight for positive change.
Yes, things should change. We're gonna change things everywhere.
What sort of things do you think should change?
Injustice, wars, corruption, unemployment, exploitation.
I see, but I'm not sure. I understand this word, separation. I'm afraid that must be a mistake. You should use the correct word, suffering.
Oh no, sir, that's no mistake. We use separation instead, so it would rhyme with exploitation.
Oh, I see. Well, that must be rapper's English.
No, teacher. Modern poet English.
Nous avons écouté ces élèves rappeurs et leurs profs d'anglais. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. La puissance des mots fait la force du rap. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Pour le prof, le rap, ce n'est pas un combat. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Quel est le titre de la chanson de ces rappeurs? Enough is enough. 2. Comment le prof qualifie-t-il l'anglais utilisé par ses élèves rappeurs? D'anglais de rappeur. 3. Pourquoi? Parce que certains mots et structures ne semblent pas être de l'anglais. Écoutez et répétez d'autres expressions idiomatiques.
Take it easy. Cool down.
On peut les utiliser pour dire à quelqu'un en français « doucement » ou « calmez-vous ».
Répétez maintenant cette phrase entendue.
Things should change.
Le mot « should » peut exprimer l'obligation morale. Il est suivi de l'infinitif sans « to ». Écoutez ces autres exemples.
So a rap song should be called a poem now?
Rap lyrics should be used to fight for positive change.
What sort of things do you think should change?
Répétez et retenez ces mots relatifs au rap. Beat, rhythm, flow, lyrics. Vous avez écouté et compris ce qui fait la force d'un texte de rap. Vous avez appris des mots clés dans un texte de rap et des idiomes. Vous êtes prêt à changer les choses? Allez-y avec ces rappeurs en utilisant should. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com.
Hello, hello, I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais, Michelle Joseph, ici au micro. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait. Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h, temps universel, sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com. Cliquez sur Apprenez l'anglais pour retrouver les leçons de tous les jours. Et les week-ends sur Onde Courte, le samedi et le dimanche à 20h30. Pour mieux parler l'anglais, to speak better English, ne ratez pas English USA sur VOA Afrique. Bienvenue à l'Anglais Express.
Vous connaissez sûrement l'expression knockout. En français, on dit KO, mais en fait, c'est un raccourci pour knockout. Knock one's socks off. Si quelque chose vous secoue et vous choque au point d'en perdre les chaussettes, est-ce une bonne chose ou une mauvaise chose? Essayons de comprendre cette expression américaine qui semble être très sportive en suivant Anna et Jonathan. Knock one's socks off.
Knock your socks off.
Hey, great job in the play last night. I was really impressed.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming to the opening night.
Well, I couldn't believe it was you up there. The whole play really knocked my socks off. Maybe it's time you gave up your day job after all.
Knock your socks off!
Ça veut dire que vous êtes épaté et même un peu surpris par quelque chose.
Il fut un temps où l'expression voulait vraiment dire avoir battu quelqu'un ou gagné quelqu'un dans un match, comme le chaos. Aujourd'hui, on s'en sert plutôt pour exprimer un sentiment d'admiration, comme on a vu Anna le faire dans la vidéo. Elle était très impressionnée par la prestation de Jonathan dans la pièce de théâtre.
It knocked her socks off.
As for you, what knocked your socks off? Qu'est-ce qui vous épate? Qu'est-ce qui vous impressionne? Et voilà pour l'anglais prêt.
Aujourd'hui, Martin Lerner va interviewer un jeune musicien dans son appartement. Vous apprendrez à interroger quelqu'un sur l'endroit où il habite et à parler de votre logement. Je vous interrogerai aussi. Aujourd'hui, Martin Lerner va interviewer un jeune musicien dans son appartement. Quelques expressions avant de commencer. A musician, un musicien. Violin, the violin, le violon. My home, mon foyer. My home. A big house, une grande maison. A big house. A small apartment, un petit appartement. A small apartment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was wonderful.
You're welcome. Do you like the violin?
I love the violin.
Would you like some coffee or tea?
No, thanks. I want to ask you some questions.
Okay.
You're a young musician. How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
Do you have a family?
I have a family in Finland. I don't have a family here.
Do you work? Do you have a job?
I'm a musician. I don't work now. I'm a student.
Do you study at the university?
Yes, I do.
Where do you live?
I live here. This is my home. Where do you live?
I live in Baltimore.
Do you live in an apartment?
Yes, I do.
This apartment is very small.
I live in a small apartment, too. It's my home.
I live in a big house in Finland, but this is my home here. Excuse me. Hello, Manny. Come in.
Hi.
Hello. I'm Martin Lerner. How are you?
Hi. I'm Manny.
Mr. Lerner is a reporter. Manny is my friend.
I'm happy to meet you.
Thanks.
Where is your home?
Here.
You live here in this apartment?
No. I don't live in this apartment. I live here in Bloomington. My home is in Bloomington.
My home is very small.
My home is very small, too.
Quelquefois, on se sert du mot home, logis ou foyer, pour exprimer l'endroit d'où on vient, ville natale ou pays natal, comme on l'a fait tout à l'heure dans la petite revue. Where are you from? I'm from Dakar. Ou bien, my home is in Dakar. My home is in Dakar. Ou bien, where are you from? I'm from New York. My home is in Washington.
They lived in Russia. It was their home.
Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn. It was my home. I live in Bloomington now.
I'm from Finland. It was my home. I live in Bloomington too.
On va s'exercer avec les phrases interrogatives. Vous allez répondre par yes, I do ou par no, I don't. Très simple. Do you live in Zaire? Yes, I do. Do you live in Zaire? No, I don't. I live in Senegal. Do you live in the United States? Yes, I do. Where is your home? Vous avez appris, je l'espère, à répondre à la question Where do you live? Where are you from? And where is your home? Exercez-vous avec vos amis ou votre famille jusqu'à notre prochaine leçon. Until then, this is Michelle Joseph. Goodbye and thank you for your time.
Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
Hello and welcome to Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph and I have with me today my colleague
Roger Muntu
and our guest student from France
Eva Pacanaro.
That's right. I like Pacanaro.
I like that. Pacanaro. Thank you, Eva, for being with us. And we have a subject today that was proposed by our listener, who is also an English teacher in DRC, Jeff Pascal Ilunga. Mm-hmm. He asked if we could go over.
Ah, go over.
Which means revoir, mm-hmm. to go over.
So to go over means revoir.
There you go. Yeah. To go over.
It means another verb, yeah.
Words that describe where we are in time. What do you think that means, Eva?
Can you repeat?
Words that describe where we are in time.
Where? tomorrow, mm-hmm. yesterday, yeah.
Okay.
Last year.
That's
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And actually some adverbs also, which I had forgotten. Now.
Mm-hmm.
For example, now.
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 Later.
Later, morning, afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have today,
mm-hmm.
yesterday,
tomorrow,
very good,
now, welcome to now,
welcome to now,
and to today, and if we go back in time, what would that be, Eva?
In English course.
Okay, but you could say to yesterday, welcome to yesterday.
Oh.
Yes, let's go back a little in time. Because we said now, mm-hmm. and we said today. Yeah. So go a bit in the past, and what would that be?
5 minutes ago.
There we go. Yes.
5 minutes ago is the past.
And
yeah.
what is that ago?
That's good.
What is the ago?
Yeah.
What is that? What is ago?
Right.
Why? What is this ago that you add when you're talking about the past?
Is the age of the time?
Mm-hmm.
That's the past.
So actually, if we visualize it with the verb go, ago, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Bye bye.
So maybe that's where it came from.
Of course.
Ago.
Go.
Yeah, it's gone.
Go. Yep.
Okay. So we could say a day ago.
Mm-hmm. A month ago.
Yes.
And
a year ago.
A year ago. Mm-hmm. A week ago.
A week ago.
An hour ago.
Right. To imply that that's the past.
Right.
Much. Yep.
And so if it's in the future, what would we say?
Next summer, next week.
Next.
Very good. Yeah.
And we're talking about time in a linear fashion, I think. And so you always have something in front and something behind. And
mm-hmm.
so we talked about the past saying last, like last year,
mm-hmm.
last week. That's another way of saying a year ago.
Right.
You could say last year. So a year ago and last year, it's about the same thing.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
And I have a guest with me today.
Je suis Daniel Grafton. Bienvenue, Michel Azzi.
Enchanté. Oui. Welcome. We're happy to have you, Dan.
Merci.
And we are going to look at how words can be changed either by putting a prefix, that means a few words
or
in front.
Or a suffix.
Or a suffix, words, a few little letters after a word.
I learned that when I was in grade school.
Oh, good for you.
Prefix and suffix.
Right, so prefix is a few letters before a word, and suffix is a few letters after a word.
Yeah, right.
And these suffix and prefix add meaning to words, right, Dan?
They do. Yes.
And it can change everything.
And they make the words move, too.
Oh, move, dynamic.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're about.
You can change a noun into a verb.
Right.
Suffix.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, that's a bit complicated. But
like run and running.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to look at...
We won't do that. No.
We're not doing that one right now.
Okay.
But we're going to look at prefixes that all of you have heard, I'm sure. So the first one we've chosen is anti or anti.
Right.
How do you say that? Anti.
Either one is okay.
Either one is okay, says Dan. I agree with that. I like that.
Okay.
Either one is okay. So anti is against or opposite something, right?
Usually against anything.
Against anything and everything.
Yeah. Anything you're against, you're anti.
Okay, so, hey, are you anti-Michel?
No.
I hope not.
No, I am.
And you're not anti-English, Anglais télé listeners.
No.
Okay.
I'm not anti-French.
I think the opposite is pro, right?
Yeah, pro, right.
Okay, but we'll get to pro. Let's look at anti. So, if you're depressed, what would you take? Something to do the opposite.
An antidepressant.
If you're having an allergic reaction, we're looking at common ones here, and I'm sneezing and coughing.
Then you take an antihistamine.
Antihistamine. So I think you guys have heard of those. What about being anti a particular person or a particular policy?
We can be anti-politics, anti-government,
right.
Anti-party.
Anti-religion.
Anti-presidents, anti-Congress.
Remember people who were anti-Bush? There are a lot of people anti-Obama right now.
And anti their own president of their own country.
Right. So anti, I think you got it, anti, right?
Right.
I'm not anti-Dan. I'm not.
No.
Okay. So next one that's fairly common is auto that we see in front of words.
Right.
And that means the self. Auto is reflective.
Okay.
Mustn't make it not a reflection. Auto. So
it also you can also use it in automatic.
Right.
Which is something that happens without you doing anything.
Right. Okay.
Right?
And how about can I get your autograph?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Or I'm driving an automobile, so.
Well, some famous person would give you their autograph.
Oh, well, you're famous, Dan.
You go in the street and
you're famous.
Get the autograph.
At Voice of America, he's famous. Can I have your autograph?
Sure you can. There you go.
Okay, so autograph, automatic.
Automobile.
Automobile. Basically, it's the self in that process, right?
Right.
Something like that. How about buy? I've heard of that.
Buy. Means...
It means two.
It means two.
Right.
It
two
also means
things.
It also means two ideas.
Two ideas.
Okay. Two thoughts.
Activities.
Two thoughts, two ideas, two politics.
Like bipartisan. No. You know, you have the Republican.
Bipolar,
when your head has kind of...
It's a person who is mean one minute and nice the next minute.
Right, and it's usually due to chemical imbalance.
I'm sure you know people like that. It's not a good thing, but it happens.
And how do you... You know, bicycle. So
right,
that
bicycle.
One we know. Everyone knows bicycle. Bivalve, I think. Does that have to do with the heart?
It has to do with the heart. It also has to do with a fish.
Oh, yes, they have...
A clam or an oyster is a bivalve.
Right, they have these valves that open on the side.
Right, on the side, and they let the water in and they let the oxygen out.
Right, so I think we've understood bivalve means two.
Right.
And it's happening at the same time.
Right.
Okay, how about con? I have seen that. Con.
Well,
like, we're conversing, to converse.
Right.
Converse. It's with. Con is with. Actually, in Spanish, con really means with, avec.
Avec. Avec.
Contigo,
in French, it's a with.
With you. Often.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
But
so
you
con,
know, but there's the opposite of con, pro.
Oh, absolutely.
Pro and con. It
to
means you're against
for
something.
Or against,
for
with
or against.
Or not with.
Right. So con, you can be used as a determination of what you believe in, or it can be used as a prefix for a word.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's look at it in the context of the prefix. Like, in the context of the prefix, it still means with, like contact. I mean contact.
Continue.
To continue.
Yeah.
To conform.
To keep going, right.
So,
to conform, to
you
do what?
Conform to what everyone should do.
Yeah.
So, you're doing what you're with the... Conform, you're with the norm of what should be done.
Right.
To converse, to contact.
And that's what we're doing now. We're conversing.
Right. So it's with.
Right.
Okay. And so pro is kind of like the opposite of anti. It's pro.
Right.
To be pro.
To believe very much in something.
I'm proactive. I love this Anglais télé, and I'm really proactive. And so is Dan. He puts in a lot. So, or to be... Actually, people cut it short and just say, I'm pro.
Right.